God bless you. Amen. Okay, let us receive the word of God, the book of John, chapter 20, verse 19 to 31, last verse. Chapter 20, verse 19 to 31. Okay, let me start. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus, who rose again from the dead, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Jesus repeat, "Peace be with you," three times in this text. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Amen, amen. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Together, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Verse 31 is the very purpose of the book of John being written. So I encourage you, challenge you, at least to memorize verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, and that by believing, by faith, you may have life, eternal life, abundance life, exciting life, everlasting life in his name. Our Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? Our Lord Jesus rose from the dead actually, really, in history. The story of Jesus' resurrection is not the story of recovering from fainting or a swoon. Just as Jesus died on the cross, actually, he rose from the dead, actually. So his resurrection is actual resurrection, real, real resurrection in history. The news that Jesus was alive began to spread among his followers, his disciples, at first with hesitation, but then with enthusiasm. First, the disciples did not believe the first report, the Lord has risen. But wherever people, his disciples, were confronted with the reality of Jesus' resurrection, there was big change, there was big transforming in their lives. So, even today, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, these changing, transforming experiences can be ours, yours, and mine still today. So, the experiences of changing that took place at that time, ask all of us, personally, individually, have I personally met the risen Lord? Has he changed my life personally? At least there were five appearances of Jesus after his resurrection, on the day of resurrection day. As we saw last Sunday, first, very early morning, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. First appearance to Mary Magdalene, and second to other women, and third to Peter, and then fourth to two other disciples on the way to Emmaus. On the way to Emmaus, they were talking about this news. The Lord has risen. Then Jesus appeared to them, approached to them, and asked them, what are you talking about? Then they asked again, you are on your visitor at Jerusalem? You don't know what is happening now here? And Jesus asked them, what things? About Jesus of Nazareth, there is news that he rose from the dead. Then during talking with Jesus, their eyes are opened and they realized, they recognized it was Jesus Christ. At that time, Jesus disappeared from their sight, and then Jesus appeared, approached to another place. So this is his fifth appearance after his resurrection on that day. Shall we see? First paragraph is Jesus' fifth appearance after his resurrection on that day among 10 disciples, except Judas Iscariot, and except what? Thomas, 10 disciples. Shall we read from verse 19 to 23? Ready, go. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This is Jesus' fifth appearance on that day of his resurrection. As we know, 10 disciples were together in one room in fear of the Jews. They were afraid. They feared and they locked doors. Why? Why they were afraid? Why they feared the Jews? You know, after Jesus' resurrection, the Jews, religious leaders, elders and the chief priests gathered together and made a bad plan. And they called the soldiers and said to soldiers, giving big money, a lot of money, and you are to say, his disciples came to the tomb at night while we were sleeping. They stole his body. So at the time, there were the news, the Lord has risen, and the rumor that his disciples stole him. So if Jesus had not risen from the dead, his disciples would be arrested and put in prison. That's why they were afraid, feared, locked the doors. At this situation, Jesus appeared to them, and when they saw Jesus, they were overjoyed. It means Jesus transformed in their lives from fear to overjoy, from cowardice to courage. As we know, Jesus rose bodily, physically. Some things prove that Jesus rose bodily. After his resurrection, Jesus himself declared, I had flesh and bones. Also, the women who met Jesus Christ on the resurrection morning touched his feet. Also, the tomb was empty and his grave clothes were in order. Many, many things proved he rose bodily. Tangible body, visible body, same body, bodily resurrection. Same body, but at the same time, different body. Same body, but different body. Can you understand? Same body, but different body. After his resurrection, he was able to enter through the walls without opening the doors. It means his resurrection body was eternal body. You know, same body, but eternal body. Same body, but imperishable body, immortal body. His body is still now alive. Do you believe this? He rose again in body 2,000 years ago, but 2,000 years later, now his body is still alive. That's why Jesus says, I am the living one. Once I was dead, but I am now alive and forevermore. Romans 6:9 says, we know that since Jesus was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over our Lord Jesus Christ. Then in this passage, how did our Lord Jesus transform in their lives from fear to overjoy, from cowardice to courage, fearlessness? First, for one thing, Jesus came to them. You know, Jesus' appearance itself made them overjoyed. First, he came to them. And then he greeted and blessed them. First, he said, peace be with you. You know, in this text, we can see three times repeat, peace be with you, peace be with you. Shalom, shalom. You know, our Lord Jesus did not rebuke them for their unfaithfulness and cowardice the previous week when Jesus was arrested and on the cross. But he greeted them and blessed them. Peace be with you. You know, the work of the cross is peace. Already before the crucifixion, Jesus promised, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as this world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Real peace can be found in our Lord Jesus Christ. His first gift is peace, because the work of the cross is peace, real peace. He himself is our peace. And next, he appeared to them, and second, he greeted them and blessed them with peace. And next, he reassured them. In verse 20, after he said, "Peace be with you," in verse 20, Jesus showed them his hands and side. It means Jesus reassured them. Jesus showed his wounded hand to hands and side and gave them the opportunity to discover it was the real Savior who died on the cross. Same Savior. You know, his wounds was more than his identification. His wounds means evidence, proof, the price paid for our salvation. By his wounds, we are healed. Yes. By his wounds, by his wounded mark, nails, two nails, even feet, side, we are healed spiritually, even physically. So we must know that the basis for all our peace is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection. Like this, still now, Jesus comes to us in grace and reassures us by his words. Even though they were feared, locked the door for safety, we must know that in this world there is no safe place without Jesus Christ. In Korea, even in Jeonju, did you hear some news nowadays? In this world, in Korea, in Jeonju, in Japan, in America, in the Philippines, there's no safe place without Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Only in Christ, in Jesus Christ, there is a perfect safety for our physical life, for our spiritual life. And then he commissioned them. Again, he commissioned them. Verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you again. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. What a grace. What a grace. What an amazing grace. What an amazing privilege and great responsibility. Can you imagine? You know, they had forsaken Jesus Christ, deserted Jesus Christ, and fled. All of them fled. But Jesus, after his resurrection, sending them as his representative to represent him in this world. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you in this world. Already in his intercessory prayer in chapter 17, before crucifixion, he prayed, "Father God, as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world." This is the dedication of Christians. Are you Christians? Are you Jesus followers? Are you Jesus disciples? This is the dedication, commitments of Christians to the task of world evangelization, world evangelism, world salvation. Jesus reconciled us to God by his death and resurrection, and then he gives us the ministry and message of reconciliation. If we are really reconciled to God by Jesus' death and resurrection, we are Christ's ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore we are Christ's ambassadors. Hallelujah. Amen. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And then next in verse 22, Jesus empowered them, enabled them, anointed them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, shall you see? Verse 22, with that he, Jesus, breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them. Breathe. Do you have a breath? Jesus breathed on them. This verse reminds us of Genesis 2:7. In his first creation job, God, the Lord God, formed the man like you and me from the dust of the ground and breathed on his nostrils, the breath of life. And then the man became a living being. It means in his first creation, the breath of God meant physical life. But in this verse, the breath of Jesus Christ in his new creation means spiritual life. Spiritual life. Receive the Holy Spirit. After his ascension, they would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Without the filling of the Holy Spirit, we cannot go forth to witness effectively, powerfully. The filling of the Holy Spirit is essential to do his job, to do our great commission. That's why Jesus says, just before ascension, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power. And then you will be my witnesses all over the world. So receiving the Holy Spirit is very, very important, essential in doing God's job through us in this world. And finally, Jesus gave them the authority of forgiveness. Can you imagine? Verse 23, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. How can we understand? Jesus says, if you forgive somebody's sin, they will be forgiven. What does it mean? Yes, we know. Only God, only Jesus who rose from the dead have authority, power to forgive sins. We have no power, we have no authority to forgive sins. Then Jesus says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. It means Jesus Christ gives us the message of forgiveness. The real forgiveness can be found only in Jesus Christ. Real forgiveness can be found only by accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. Then Jesus gives us this message of forgiveness. Imagine, if we do not preach, if we do not announce this message of forgiveness, they cannot hear the message of forgiveness. If they cannot hear the message of forgiveness, they cannot believe, they cannot accept Jesus Christ, who can give forgiveness. If they do not believe, God cannot forgive them. So this means we are given, we have received the message of forgiveness. Then when we preach the message of forgiveness, if somebody listens, hear our message of forgiveness and accept and believe in Jesus Christ, God performs the miracle of forgiveness, and then we can authoritatively declare your sins are forgiven. Yes, God forgives their sins, but we can declare your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name because you believe in Jesus Christ. So Jesus transformed in their lives from fear to overjoy, from cowardice to courage through six steps. First, he came to them, and then he greeted and blessed them, and then he reassured them, and he gave them commission, great commission, and he empowered them, and finally, he gives us authority and power of the message of forgiveness. And then we can see next appearance 1 week later. Between two paragraphs from verse 19 to 23 and next paragraphs 24 to 29, we do not know what happened. But next paragraph is happening 1 week later. Shall we read from verse 24 to 29? Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." 1 week later, there was another meeting of disciples. Again, they were in same house, same room, and locked again. I don't know why, locked again. And Jesus appeared to them and said, "Peace be with you." In this story, the main character is Thomas, Didymus. As we know, in the meeting 1 week ago, Thomas was not there with them. We don't know why Thomas was not there with them 1 week ago. Maybe he was busy. He was in another place, very far from this meeting place. Maybe he did not hear there was disciples meeting. Maybe he was disappointed or discouraged that he did not want to join. We do not know why. Anyway, he was not with them 1 week ago. It means Thomas missed much blessings for 1 week. Thomas missed seeing the Lord and receiving much blessing and spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit and commission and authority to declare the message of forgiveness. Thomas missed much, much blessing for 1 week that other 10 disciples received and enjoyed 1 week ago already. It means that Thomas had to suffer at least for 1 week with disbelief, skepticism, and doubting. And in this story, anyway, in conclusion, Jesus transformed in Thomas' life from doubting to faith, believing, from skepticism to assurance, from hiding to confession. My Lord, my God. You know the literal meaning of Thomas, Didymus? The literal meaning of Didymus or Thomas means twin. Do you have a twin? Same sister or same brother? Twin. We don't know whether he had his twin brother or sister, but spiritual meaning in today, there are many twins of Thomas today. Thomas' story gives us big lesson or a warning. Today's Christians, us, not to miss Christian fellowship, Christian community, especially on the Lord's Day. Lord's Day. First day, Thomas missed much blessings. You know, if we miss Christian community, we never know what kind of special blessings we might miss. We are gathering together Sunday, Lord's meeting. It means community fellowship, community. If we miss this community this day, today, we will miss at least for 1 week. Then we do not know what kind of special blessing we might miss. So, meeting together in community of Christian is basic, bottom line we should do if we are really, really born again Christians. You know, if we are alone, in case of Thomas' story, if we are alone, if we are separated, if we are isolated from Christian fellowship, we are weak and weaker. But when we together in Christian fellowship, we are strong and stronger. That's why Hebrews 10:25 says, Do not give up meeting together. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habits of doing, but let us encourage together when all the more we see the day, the final day approaching. Why? Because in Christ we are being built together. We are being built together to dwell in the house of God. Shall we see once the verse Ephesians? In Christ, we are being built together for what? To become a dwelling in which God lives through His Spirit. Ephesians 2:20. Ephesians 2:20 says, in Him, who is Him? Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Holy Spirit. That's why we must do our best to meet together, to encourage together, to build up together, to edify together. Shall we see Hebrews? Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. Shall we read together? 25. Let us not. Did you find? Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. One of the main characteristics of AISF is we are very movable. Our lifestyle is very flexible in this world. We are ready to move another place because we are pilgrims. We are travelers in this world. But I, as a pastor, I want to encourage you strongly, strongly. If you move to another country, another continent, another place, first thing you should do is to pray to God for His faithful guidance to find out Christian fellowship, Christian community, biblical local church, evangelical church, like Antioch Church, like AICF. Because to worship God is our basic blessing, not only blessing but also burden. Not only right, but also duty. Not only privilege, but also responsibility. Shall we see next conclusion? This is the conclusion of this chapter, verse 30 and 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. 31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. They had seen the Lord and believed the Lord. But they were not saved by seeing the Lord, but by believing in Jesus Christ. Also, we are saved by believing in Jesus Christ. We are not saved by seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, we cannot see the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot see the Lord, but we have the record. We have the message. That's why the Bible says faith comes from hearing the message. The message is heard from the word of Christ Jesus. The main purpose why this book is written is that we may have life by believing in Jesus Christ. Verse 31. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and Son of God. Do you believe Jesus is Christ and Son of God? By believing what? Jesus Christ, Son of God, you may have life. Life. What kind of life? All kind of life. Not only physical life, but also eternal life. Abundance life. Heavenly life. Glorious life. We are studying the book of John. I said already the book of John is the what? Book of life. Book of life. You know, Bible. Bible is more than a book, more than a history, more than a biography. Bible is the book of life, living book. Because this is the word of God. You know, the book of John, all Bibles are full of life which can be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, you are studying the scriptures diligently, diligently, because you believe that by scriptures you possess eternal life. But these are the scriptures that testify about me. Especially in case of Book of John, start. In the beginning, there was the Word. The Word was God and with God. In him was life. This life was the light of men. This light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood this life. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life, to have it to the full. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This life is only in Jesus Christ. That's why 1 John 5, 10, 11 says, as a conclusion, another conclusion, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Shelley says, conclusion. 1 John 5. First John is another book the same Apostle John wrote. Chapter 5. Excuse me. Okay, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. Shall we read together? This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Amen. So let me close my sermon. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe this? Amen. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, future, and forever. What does this mean? This means Jesus, 2,000 years ago, after his resurrection, at this passage, the same Jesus who transformed in their lives from fear to overjoy, from cowardice to courage, from death to life, is transforming, changing in our lives today from fear to overjoy, from frustration to peace, and one change like this in other people's lives through us. This means Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May God bless all of us with this wonderful message given to us through Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Shall we pray? Father God, right time, more than anything else, above all, we praise you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who rose again and defeated the last enemy, death, physical death, spiritual death, and still alive among us. All the time same, our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe the same Jesus who changed, transformed in their lives 2,000 years ago is still available in our lives, in changing our lives. And then also this same Jesus Christ wants to change in others' life through our lives. Father God, this is our wonderful privilege and also responsibility. Father God, anoint us, empower us, enable us to do this great job for your kingdom, for your ministry. Father, we are here for your kingdom. Help us to become one unity through our Lord Jesus Christ, because our mission is one and only for your kingdom in this world. Thank you for your doing something great through our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.